You're listening to the Customer Experience Podcast with host Emma Dark. Emma and Andrew discuss how to create a design tribe that sits within teams and units across the business, how to identify, approach, and support vulnerable customers, and some of the future challenges for organizations going through this transformation. There's loads of value for any CX executive leading teams in the digital age, so we hope you all enjoy the show.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the Customer Experience Podcast.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thanks for being my first in-person guest today.
I know, it's a bit of a treat, right? In terms of at least having some face-to-face conversations,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So our topic this afternoon is going to be centered around bringing purpose to life in the digital age. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to talk to you about how we overcome the challenge of those that really benefit from digitalization versus those that don't. And for example, customers that don't have access to the internet, they can't access kind of information communication through technology, effectively, you know, at a disadvantage. So let's start off today by, you know, you introducing yourself to our listeners. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're so passionate about customer experience and driving kind of growth through customers.
Well, I've sort of been leading customer experience transformation probably for the last 15 years in various brands, financial services, utilities, healthcare. And I'm really passionate around how does a customer make a difference to really driving what I would say sustainable customer organic growth. I think you can't achieve organic growth if you haven't got a focus on your customers. You know, if customers don't like doing business with you, they actually leave you. If customers actually like doing business with you, they'll go away and tell their friends and come back for more. So I'm really passionate around how we support customers driving advocacy and loyalty across their business, really.
Yeah, okay, fantastic, snap. So we talk about kind of purpose. So how do you go about bringing kind of brand and purpose together in terms of driving a great customer experience?
Well, I think a lot of companies now talk about purpose as a new buzzword, I would say, but much more important about having a nice glossy phrase which puts on a wall or you communicate internally and externally is how you bring that purpose to life for customers, for partners, for your people. So really it's about the actions and things you put in place to bring that purpose into everyday business life. I think the first thing is making that purpose resonate with every person in the organization and know how they connect to that in the organization in terms of every person's job. I think, you know, people need to know how they feel connected to the brand, how they feel connected personally to the purpose in terms of what they do and contribute to the organization. I think that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is about communication, right? So how do you ensure that communication is positioned in every conversation from the top of the organization and reinforced, I would say, in terms of daily work? I think there's been interesting, I just recall a couple of brands as examples here. I remember being part of a Ritz-Carlton stand-up with their team where we talked around the values and purpose of the organization. And very much people sharing their individual stories of that day's work, of how they made a difference to a customer's life, you know, which actually then connected them to the brand and their job, whatever job that was, whether it be a waiter in the restaurant, the front doorman, the person making the beds. I think anything like that connects. At Bupa, for example, my previous organization I worked for, I used to visit some of those dementia centers and deal with aged care staff in terms of what they do to actually bring that person to life of every day, longer, healthy, happier lives, and making a difference for both residents and their families. And at Close Brothers, I guess, you know, with the pandemic, as a player in the financial services sector, lending, supporting customers and businesses through the cycle over the long term, helping their businesses thrive, grow and sustain through expertise and long relationships. For me, that's what purpose is really about. It's how you bring that to life every day. There's nothing worse for me than having a purpose stated in a wall and actually not living up to it. Then a promise doesn't become a promise, it just becomes a nice slogan. Yeah. So for me, that's the most critical thing of how you bring purpose to every touch point, every interaction, and making people feel part of it, can contribute to that purpose daily in their jobs, really. Yeah.
And do you think organisations struggle with that, bringing that brand and purpose together? You know, in your experience, is that easy, difficult to do?
No, of course, in day-to-day businesses, when you have trade-off decisions to make, sometimes those things can become a challenge, right, in terms of the pressures of delivering financial results, the pressures of driving efficiency improvements. How do you ensure you're actually still doing that with a mindset of delivering on your wider purpose, which in our instance is making the business of and customers of the UK thrive and survive over the long term? How do we actually do that day to day in our decision making? So I think, you know, ultimately, therefore you need to have the ingredients in place to make sure you bring the customer and your purpose front and center of the decision making processes in the organization, to ensure it is front and center when you start to make those choices and decision making challenges. And I think then, see, as a CX leader, I think it's also challenging organizations when we don't do the right thing. So I think ultimately there are times when perhaps we have made the wrong mistake, or any organization makes a mistake and perhaps hasn't delivered what it said it would. And I think having the gravitas and the confidence to stand up and say, actually, we didn't do the right thing here, we need to actually change what we did, I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's about, you know, the whole organisation just holding that mirror up and saying, actually, you know, we weren't our best selves in that situation. We've let the customer down. It's okay. But together, how are we going to really step forward and make sure we do better next time, really?
Yeah, and I wouldn't just limit that to customer. I think, you know, when I talk about customer or experience, I think that matters in terms of how our brand stacks up, really. For example, in terms of the reputation of our brand and our business versus our competitors. And clearly, you know, if we do what we said we would do and reinforce our brand values and our purpose day by day, that reinforces our reputation at a brand level. I think it also matters in terms of product, in terms of our product, you know, are our products and the experiences around our products fit for purpose, and are they being brought to life in the right way for customers and for our people, ultimately. So ultimately, you can't build a great business if you haven't got people and deliver great people experiences, and making sure your people feel connected to your brand, give discretionary effort. Because if you didn't deliver that, your people probably will not deliver a great experience, and they will have an adverse effect on your brand performance and brand image. So it all has to work together as one. So the brand, the product, the customer, and the employee be feeling connected to the overall purpose of the organization and values of the organization.
So let's focus on the kind of financial services industry. And I guess historically, you know, there's been a huge reliance in that sector around face-to-face relationships and having that in-person contact with customers. In your experience, you know, how has that kind of had to evolve, and how has that change come about, really, in terms of digitalization and, you know, having the hybrid, or actually moving away from, you know, limiting the amount of face-to-face contact altogether within that relationship management kind of cycle, really?
Well, I think first thing I would say, you have to be very careful around that. I think what made a company great and the success of the organization, if it's based in a relationship industry, which our business is, then I wouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater too quickly. So I think you have to be very sensitive as to where digitalization makes sense in the context of a relationship business, which has been successful in terms of delivering great experience, delivering value, delivering trust, delivering reputation and growth through those relationships. So I think sensitively doing it is quite important. I think the other thing I would say is dissecting forensically the customer journey end to end, understanding which points in that journey actually do lend itself to digitalization. And I would say it's about enhancing those journeys rather than replacing. So I would say, so how you augment what you have rather than replace, and actually utilize digital opportunity as a way to enhance what you do rather than actually, you know, remove what's there. So I think it's also about bringing the people with you. It's about change, around how you manage that change, any change in how you do business, both internally and externally with your people, partners or clients, has to be managed in a sensitive way. So I think how you involve the right people to actually support that transformation is critical in terms of making sure we can get all views and understand where the opportunities might lie, where we can actually capitalize and utilize digitalization tools to actually help us accelerate what we do.
Yeah. I'm thinking of customer journey specifically. You know, how have you gone about deciding within those journeys which require the human element versus can be purely digital? And then also deciding which ones can have a blend of human and digitalization. How do you go about deciding which, you know, kind of are human versus digital, but then how do you ensure that the ones that have a hybrid actually are customer centric and feel quite seamless for your customers?
Mm. Well, I think there are a number of steps involved in that. I think the first thing I mentioned earlier is walk in the shoes of your customers, right? So actually unpacking the customer journey end to end across all touch points and all moments of truth is the first step, and also understanding how that journey feels for each customer segment you have. So I think the first thing is mapping and understanding the as-is customer journey from a customer point of view. And of course, understanding what the needs of the customers are throughout that journey and where could there be opportunities to make things more simple, more easy, and where therefore digital can play a role to actually simplify and enhance those journeys. So I think that's the first thing in terms of mapping out the journeys, understanding where we can actually add value from a digital perspective, and then identify where those opportunities are. The second thing then for me would be about making sure you get the right team involved, you know, an agile team who can actually start to look at those opportunities in more depth. Don't be afraid of sort of test and learn approaches, take baby steps, and to start to learn from that. And once you've done the learnings, worked out how things can operate, look to scale those. And the final thing would be how you manage those and govern those journeys end to end. So I think, you know, digital touch points and or blended experience in a customer journey need to be managed correctly and governed correctly. So having the right accountability and ownership each journey stage, I think, is important to understand how you continue to evolve those journeys, drive continuous improvement, and making sure the performance of them is in line with what you expect. So I think it's an element of walking in the shoes, the design process, test and learn and scale, and then governance and accountability for those journeys when you operationalize them.
And how much of all of that do you kind of rely on technology or data to help oversee all of those steps that you just called out?
Well, I think, you know, data fundamentally, or insight, I would say more broadly, is the crux of all that, because, as I said, in terms of designing anything, you need to understand what the data is telling you, what our customers' insights are telling us in terms of how we might go about something. Then the data flows clearly are important then to manage throughout to ensure you can actually understand what's going right and what's going wrong. So, the insight in the first place to actually help the design process, and secondly, ensuring you have the data and insight coming from the touch points and the journey stages to manage the experience are critical elements of ensuring you design and deliver effective journey management.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you, in your experience, how have you involved customers within that design thinking and kind of test and learn?
Yeah, I would say across different industries, that is at different stages of maturity, I would say, in terms of our customers actively involved in those processes of a test and learn, the design process itself. I actively would say, you know, that's an important critical part, you know. Ultimately, they're the ones who will actually experience the outcome of what you're designing. So involvement in all phases will be critical to ensure something lands well and is fit for purpose. But I think there's still a lot of work to do in many organizations of how they bring customers into the right stage whilst they're designing their agile processes and agile digital ways of working and tools, to actually involve in the right stage for feedback and piloting.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about this in other of the CX podcasts where, you know, organizations have had labs. So they've had intentional space, you know, within their head office or within their customer teams where they can actually bring in customers into the physical brick and mortar space to get involved at the right touch point. Have you seen that in organizations that you've worked for? And can you bring to life, you know, how the success has been reached by doing that type of approach?
Yeah, I think you have to be careful. I think customer labs, you know, we've had those in previous organisations I've worked for, and I think having a safe environment so we can test and learn, prototype and bring customers, iterate what you're doing real time, clearly helps in terms of creating something which sticks and is fit for purpose. So I think that can help. I think the caution I would have is, you know, making sure you involve the right people in your own business to ensure when those things become scalable, you don't just put them back into the operations and expect them to be used. So I think it's really important to manage the change around that, to really making sure those things get operationally embedded across the business correctly. So I think customer labs do have a place. I think definitely the role of involving customers at the right stage is critical in the test and learn process, both at the start in terms of insight and as you develop, but also ensuring you have the right team in place in the first place to ensure that when we come to operationalize, those things can stick in the organization.
Yeah, I agree. And earlier you talked about, in terms of skill sets, in order to deliver this brand and kind of customer purpose combined, you talked about agility and having agile kind of ways of working. What typically are the kind of skill sets that you've seen where successful organisations deliver, you know, that customer centricity? What are the skills that they have, and what's the makeup of that in the organisation that enable them to deliver that digital customer experience?
Well, I think, you know, you have to democratise the skills in the organisation. Many organisations still have centres of expertise, centres of competence, which are, you've got highly skilled customer experience people in those with lots of backgrounds in agile ways of working, insight, journey mapping, journey design, design thinking. But my experience, you know, to drive customer-centric change across large organisations, that can't be done with a small centre of expertise, a centre of competence. That has to be democratised across the organisation. In my previous organisation, we created what we call our design tribe, to actually have something like 2,500 service designers across the organisation. And they sat within teams and units and were able to support all those innovation and development processes. So they sat within teams, they were called upon and utilised for agile sprint work, creating things like digital garages, where we actually had scrum teams being formed very quickly with the right expertise in terms of facilitation and having the right tool set to guide people through design processes, and in therefore having a better chance of success when those things become operationalised. So I think, yes, you have to have some core skills, and then you have to invest in capability building across the organisation and democratise that across the organisation if you want to be really truly customer centric.
Thinking back to brand and purpose and aligning those two things, how have you seen organisations approach kind of culturally getting that buy-in across the organisation? So earlier you talked about how important it was that people understood where they fit into that brand purpose, you know, and the role they play within that. But how do you do that culturally? How have you seen organisations kind of really get the buy-in of the people to kind of drive that purpose and brand and customer experience forward?
No, it's a very good question. I think the reality is that's not an easy thing. It's a daily job of leaders in the organisation to reinforce the purpose. And I'll just give you an example earlier on with the example of Ritz-Carlton, where actually that conversation happened every day of the week in every hotel. You know, the reality is having a conversation, what have you done today which has brought that purpose to life? How can we celebrate those who've done a great job and story told around that? So it's constant reinforcement, constant communication, making sure that you pick out highlights where people have done a fantastic job. People get coached on how they might learn from others who've done those fantastic jobs to bring that to life. And I think also it's about bringing that lens into the right forums. I mentioned earlier on that having, for example, the right customer forum set up, where when it comes to decision makings on how we prioritise our change agenda, you know, that's done through lens of, are we ensuring the change we're making enhance and contribute to our purpose and brand values, or in fact detract from it. So I think it's the hard stuff in terms of getting the right things in place when you're having those conversations, to make sure you have that lens in place, first and foremost. And secondly, from a cultural perspective, I think it's an element of bringing that to life from a leadership perspective, day in, day out. And probably the third thing I would say is, when people get onboarded in organisations from the start, I think it's really important that organisations talk around what that business is there to do, what do they stand for, what their role is, etc. So that's really, you know, embedded from day one of the person joining an organisation.
So Andrew, let's go back to how relationships have evolved in the financial services kind of industry. Just want to bring to life some more examples for the listeners around things that happen from an experiential perspective in the bricks and mortar that are now 100% digitalised.
Yeah, look, well, I think just to reinforce, I think at close, you know, human-centric culture is still critical. Relationships are still absolutely front and centre of our business. They have been, they are, and they continue to will be. I think then, so we really talk about human-centric and digitally enabled, right? So I think we want to remain human-centric. We want to remain people and relationship focused. That's the core of our business. But we also want to embrace how we utilise digitalisation to enable our people, enable our customers to do things better, smarter and more efficiently. So I think, as I mentioned, we want to unpack those customer experiences end to end and identify what those touch points might be, which are irritants or problems where we can actually, customers don't actually necessarily need to ring us. They don't need to contact us. It's actually just hassle and actually adds complexity. It takes longer and actually it's not as convenient for the customer. So I think there are definitely touch points in any business in financial services where, you know, we can digitalize those things. So I think in the past, Amazon used to have this four box model, you know, in terms of saying, you know, what are those touch points where there's no value add for the customer, unlimited value add for the organization. So either re-engineer those touch points out or make it easier for customers to get those things done without having to contact somebody. So I think they're the opportunities where I think automation, digitalization can have the biggest impact in the short term. So high volume transactions, transactions which add no real value to the customer, which just caused pain. We can make those simple and easy to do by deploying digital assets and automation to do that. I think when things become more complex, you know, we still need to ensure we have that human face. And I think that's what, like the blend of that experience, I think is going to be the most critical thing. I saw a recent report on something called the autonomous customer. We think channel choice is still going to be important. So I think to offer customers the opportunity to deal with this in different ways is still going to be critical. I think clearly on those high volume touch points, which are, you know, we can make quicker and easier. I think that's where the biggest opportunities are. I think the other thing on B2B is how we deploy digital tools to enable our salespeople, our account people to actually do their jobs easier is also important, right? So I wouldn't just say digitalization is a customer only opportunity. It's also a way we can equip and enable our employees to focus their time on where they can add the most value and take out from their day-to-day work the things which actually cause a lot of pain and take a lot of time. And we can make those things easier in the day-to-day work, whether it be for account planning tools, having access to data, having access to dashboards, having access to customer information, which can be more presented to the customer easily rather than having to try to pull that together yourself in a manual way. Those things just make that job a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And employee NPS is becoming now a key KPI, you know, on those exec dashboards, because actually, you know, happy employees, happy customer, and those efficiencies, you know, that you talk through digitalization there actually give better experience for the employee and the customer. So it's win-win, you know, all around in terms of, you know, the experiences. How have you found, kind of in your experience, the employee journey around adopting from that traditional relationship management bricks and mortar to digitalization? What's that journey been like?
Well, like I think any change in working practice has to be managed correctly. It's a change management topic more than anything else, and it's about people trying to change their day-to-day behaviors of how they go about doing their work. So the reality is, I think I mentioned earlier on that you want people to feel engaged when you're actually going for that digitalization process. So they don't fear that. They actually feel this is going to help them be more effective in their jobs. So I think embracing people as you go through that change is really important, how you involve people so they don't fear that, but they can actually see how it advances and augments what they do. But of course, you know, winning hearts and minds is not easy. It can't be done overnight. So we need lots of training, lots of support, coaching, communication. So I would embrace that as a bit of a change project in itself of how you embed new ways of working, embed the use of new tools in day-to-day work. Is much about a people and change journey as it is a technology journey, actually.
Yeah. And going back to customer, having gone through that kind of, you know, journey of figuring out which experiences are either purely digital, bricks and mortar, or the hybrid, how have your customers responded? What kind of feedback are you getting from your customers, you know, around how it feels, you know, to deal with your current organisation or experience in the past, really, of where, you know, are customers embracing it? What, you know, what's the general consensus?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier on that the reality is you always have to put in place from a governance perspective the listening post to ensure you're always listening to your customers, being always on effectively in terms of listening to your customers at your key touch points and key journey stages, and understanding are the things we deploy and working or not. So I think that's the third thing. You have to have the ingredients first of all to listen to customers and have the accountability that actually somebody's owning that feedback and actually doing something with it to turn the action to improve things. So I would say, you know, given where we were with the pandemic, you know, there's certainly, I would say, been a shift across many brands, of course, and the acceptance therefore of utilization of digital tools, which probably companies may not have been reticent around rolling out too quickly. So I think there's been a gradual embracement of utilization of digital channels. However, as I said, the recent research I saw was, channel choice is still important and offering different ways to contact an organisation is still critical, especially when it comes to more challenging conversations or difficult, stressful conversations or needs, which really where you need emotional intelligence. It's probably better speaking to a human for those things. So I think that will still remain the sort of hybrid world we're living in. I think, you know, I think there's definitely an acceleration embracing, I would say, digital tools, chat, artificial intelligence opportunities for high volume, simple transactions, because it just simply makes life easier and you can get things done quicker, which actually, you know, is a great thing. And then hopefully we create some more capacity to actually spend more time with customers and things which really matter to them, where we can actually have more deeper conversations will help in their daily lives.
And that, I guess, goes back to the heartland of financial services, wanting to have those relationships, removing the contacts that are transactional and not value add, just allows you to do that, whether that's in a different channel, it doesn't matter, it's just creating the space to be able to continue to do that, which is so important. You know, you describe that as an important kind of value for Close.
Yeah, I would say, I think our view is we want to remain human-centric, people-centric, and relationship-centric, but we want to be digitally enabled. And, you know, there will be growing opportunities to become more digitally enabled as we, in the future and today, you know, some of that work is accelerating, especially on those high-volume transactional touch points, which we can either remove altogether or make it much easier to do business with, make things simple and easier. So I think that's the journey which a lot of organisations are on. Then I would say the other important thing is how we create the interplay between the digital world and the human world. So everybody talks about seamless omnichannel experience, which is a nice buzzword, but very difficult to get right. So how does that fit together seamlessly is going to be a critical success factor, I think, for all organisations. So I think management of that, the transition from digital to human, human to digital, in a seamless, integrated way and joined up way, is probably where the challenge is for a lot of brands and organisations to make that work.
Going back to your point around the channels, you know, again, I've read recently around, you know, organisations almost wanting to make the telephony, the phones, voice channel obsolete. And I think, you know, maybe 18 months, 2 years ago, that was almost, you know, a mission for lots of organisations. And in some cases, I agree with you, as you said earlier, you know, it may not be necessary, but that choice, I think, is essential. And, you know, I've been working with companies just over the last couple of weeks where some have clear feedback from customers that they want to interact digitally, and that's the primary channel. They don't want to ever have to talk to someone on you know, in a voice channel. But then speaking to someone today, polar opposite, actually their customers preferred voice, and that was the primary channel. So, you know, totally agree that the choice is what's important, and organisations not making any assumptions and doing necessarily what's right for the firm. It's about making sure that the customer is involved in that decision making as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, as I said, you know, walking in the shoes of the customers is a phrase I use a lot, but I think ultimately it's about that, right? So, and of course, the customers you serve are different per business, and we're in obviously in different industries, so people want to interact with you. So, you know, I can imagine still in a relationship business, especially with partners and our distributors, they'll still want to engage primarily face to face, but there will be opportunities to digitize certain elements or transactions. And of course, there'll be other customers who, you know, you mentioned earlier on, who may struggle to utilize some of those digital assets and tools who we need to support in different ways. So I think we can always have to deal with that sort of mix of channels, and how we manage customers across that is going to be a key capability and skill set for organizations.
That brings me on nicely, actually, to vulnerable customers, you know, which is a term that's out there now, especially, you know, what do we mean by that? So these are customers that can't access the internet, that, you know, don't have a computer maybe, and where, you know, firms are moving to digitalizing information or communication, but actually you've got customer groups that just can't access that. So, you know, as I said at the start, you know, perceived as being disadvantaged. As a CX leader, you know, in your experience, how does a firm, you know, really kind of approach identifying, managing and supporting those kind of vulnerable customer groups?
Well, I think you hit the nail. Actually identifying who's vulnerable in the first place is a pretty important start. So understanding who in your customers has some vulnerability, whatever form that is, because that changes over time. As we know, vulnerability changes in the moment, and at different stages in a person's life. We need to understand who's vulnerable and at which points in time they're vulnerable and why they're vulnerable. And I think, you know, we can use analytics and data and sentiment analysis and so on to do some of that, to be able to be a bit more proactive in understanding who might require different levels of support. And I think that the second thing is about understanding what the needs are. So not all vulnerable, you know, have a problem with technology, so there'll be elements of that vulnerable segment who clearly might need to interact in different ways, and I think therefore we need to understand those needs quite deeply, and therefore be able to then understand how we design and deliver our journeys in a way which meets those needs. The other thing I would say around that is it's really then equipping your agents with the emotional intelligence to identify people who may require different support, and ensuring that we have triage process in place to make sure we provide that support as and when required. So technology has a role to play in terms of helping identify. I think design of processes, design of journeys to meet those needs is critical. Having the right coaching of the frontline to ensure they have the emotional cues to be able to understand where vulnerability is existing, how we support that, and then that commitment from leadership top down in terms of that's an important thing for a business to deal with. I think all those factors are critical elements here, really.
In your experience, what is the greatest kind of challenge that you see organisations and firms have to overcome digitalising customer experience?
I don't see so much the technology challenge. I see it as a people challenge to a large extent, you know, either in terms of your internal employee embracing the need and requirement to change how we work. So that's a challenge in itself of how you get people on board the bus and feeling that we're actually doing something with them rather than to them. And of course, dealing with the fears and anxiety which may come from that. So I think clearly there's you know, a challenge in society at large in terms of potential job displacement as a result of digitalization. So I think those fears exist and are real. So how we deal with that is important in a very human way. The second thing I would say, how you approach it, is making sure you have the right capabilities in place to manage those things correctly. So I mentioned earlier on having design thinking leaders, agile ability in your organization, creating the right teams of people who can co-create and test and learn and innovate is quite important. So how you go about doing that, I think, you know, there are different ways, and I think companies have trialed those big digital garages and created separate businesses outside the normal business and then tried to deploy those things back into the operations. You know, my own view around that is I think it works better if you involve people from day one, involve the right people, because they therefore probably feel a bit more encouraged to utilize those things later on when they become deployed operationally in the line. So it's about having the right capabilities, the right team, dealing with emotion, involving the people, communication. Don't be afraid to fail. It's all about test and learn. Some things will work, some things won't work. Iterating around that, so making sure you get constant feedback. And when we deploy things, we can actually learn quickly and change quickly. I think that's really important. And then making sure you've got the right accountability and governance when those things do get deployed, where you've got people who can own those things end to end with the right dashboards and performance metrics.
So Andrew, you've worked in customer experience for a long time. You've got a huge amount of experience in this space. What keeps you motivated to kind of go into bat for the customer?
Well, you know, I think I started off this conversation by saying sustainable growth depends on the relationships we have or don't have with our customers, ultimately. So I'm really passionate around helping companies grow and doing the right things for customers, because I think doing the right things for customers actually helps you to grow in a natural way in terms of driving net customer growth, etc. And I'm also passionate on working with customers who really want to, you know, put purpose and their values at the center of the organization and bring those to life, really, because I think that's just a great thing to be, really. I think you know, we ask about Fred Reichel when he started his NPS stuff off, and now how he came to that conclusion. It was very simple, right? So if you serve customers really well, do a great job for them, they'll come back and they'll tell their friends to actually want to, as well, about doing business with you, right? So, you know, that's quite an easy, natural thing to understand, right? So if you do a great job for customers, they'll come back for more, they'll retain their business with you, they'll tell their friends and family you are great to do business with, and they may want to come and do work, business with you as well. And ultimately, you'll help grow your business over time and at the same time have fun along the way. So I think that for me is you know, I'm really passionate. I've done it 15 years and with various brands in financial services, healthcare, utilities. And I still think there's opportunities to do more. Many companies are still struggling doing those things. I think there's still a long way to go for companies to be truly customer-centric.
Another buzzword, right? Customer centricity and customer centric. Yeah. And I think it's definitely on a lot of execs' kind of wish lists. Have you noticed through the pandemic and just in the last kind of 18 months, really, that it feels like some organisations have used it as an excuse to not deliver a great customer experience?
Yeah, I think I read a piece of research recently where I think that's true. I would say that when customers have been very frustrated, right, by call center wait times, people utilizing the pandemic, COVID, but I think people's memories are long, and that you know, those excuses will no longer be able to be given. So, and of course, the expectations of customers are continuing to evolve, right? So, you know, ultimately, to win and grow in your markets really does depend on and does depend on having your customer's best interests in mind. I don't believe in most businesses you can't grow profitably, sustainably over time if you don't do the right things for customers.
What are your key predictions then in the future for kind of customer experience? What's coming? What innovations coming, and what's the focus going to be around customer experience in the headwinds, really?
Yeah, well, look, I would say, you know, experience management is much broader than just the customer. So I think, as I mentioned, I think it's about delivering a great brand experience. How does your brand stack up versus the competition? And how do you continue to earn the reputation and trust of customers and stakeholders? I think that's going to be really important, especially if you think about sustainability agendas, diversity and inclusion agendas. How do we ensure your brand stacks up and cuts the mustard versus best in class, and you will be a company which people want to do business with? Second thing, your products, you know, are they going to be fair value and deliver in line with the expectations of customers? Are you designing those products today for the needs of customers for today and tomorrow? Do they stack up well? So the old product experience. The customer experience is really for me about the touch points and the journeys of how you continue to evolve and improve those with the right ownership around those things in place. And the employee we touched on earlier on, I think ultimately, you know, as you said, you know, people who love your company, give discretionary effort, want to stay with you and do a great job for customers. Those employees who feel, you know, disconnected, don't feel supported, perhaps do not give those level of discretionary effort. So I think the employee experience is also important going forward for organizations. I think the use of data and predictive analytics is going to be critical. I think, you know, there's an element of survey fatigue. You know, everybody's asking, you know, survey questions. So how do we get insight from unstructured data, and how do we use that insight to drive action? I think that's going to be a really important area for us. And the other thing I would say, if we want to tackle some of the big societal challenges we have to think beyond just our organization. So we're coming clearly from the recent sustainability debate, I think if we want to tackle some of the biggest challenges the world is facing, we're going to have to think about how we join up organizations in partnerships. So how does experience need to evolve, not only with your own business, but across the partnership ecosystem? So I think they're the key challenges, I think, which will be important. And I think the final one probably is, which I think there's a lot of work to be done, it's not a new topic, but I still think that many customer experience leaders and teams trying to get their customer priorities in line for action is still a challenge, because they haven't got the business cases attached to them. So demonstrating the value of CX in terms of how does it drive retention, how does it drive cross and upselling, and how does it drive positive referrals and positive word of mouth, and quantifying that value in terms of customer lifetime value and the impact of that on business performance is still a challenging thing for many organisations. So I still think that's something which needs to be tackled.
Thank you, Andrew. Lots of great insight there.
Yeah.
I guess I'll close with one final question for our listeners today. What would be your one piece of advice that you would give them in terms of, you know, kind of how to approach digitalising customer experience?
Well, you know, I think in terms of my advice, it would be, it's about customer first, not digital first. Always walk in the shoes of your customers and partners and figure out what they want for today and tomorrow. That is the secret ingredient.
Thank you, Andrew.
Cheers.
Those are the sage words of Andrew Clayton, Group Head of Customer Experience at Close Brothers. Having previously worked as an executive across multiple sectors for the past 30 years, Andrew provides us some great insight into how organisations can handle the gap between those who benefit from the digital age and those who don't.